So we're gonna get started. The message for the midweek classes is hope in hard times, and it's really a blessing that we were able to connect with this book because it goes right with the title. And it's 30 Days of Hope in Hard Times, and this is the author. If you guys want to order it, is available on multiple platforms, on Audibles, Kindle. You can get the physical book, but if you just Google it. You could take a picture, screen of the, take a screenshot or take a picture of the book here, and you can Google it, and the easiest and best way for you to purchase it. But it's really great because it's 30 days, really short devotionals that you can combine this with your present time that you're having with God. It's not really long, but it's really rich. And power. So just wanted to mention that first before we get started. So tonight's message is hope in the headlines. And I know this could be something that can be scary, and it can be something that can be a little like frightening for some, like hope in the headlines. What is that? What are you talking about? Because there's a lot of things that's going on in the headlines these days, right? But I want to look in Psalm 46. We're going to start in Psalm 46, in verse 1 to 3. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we do not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with fury. So, just these times is challenging times. It is. But the thing is that is God is with us in the challenging times. And something just to be aware of, and we notice news is something that changes every day. Even sometimes on the hour, news change, right? And if you want to get even more specific on the minute, and with current technology, we're hit with it like constantly, right? So the thing we have to fight to remember is that God's word is the same. It's the same today, tomorrow, and forever. Despite the news that changes, God is consistent and he's the same and he is with us. So with that, just, God gives us his promises, he gives us his spirit, and he gives us his presence. And I just want to encourage us to hold on to those things, for those to be the things that we anchor to. Those be the things that sustain us, not the news, right? Not present circumstances or situations, but those things that God is offering and given us, his promises, his spirit, his presence. Those are the things that are the same and that we need to anchor and sustain too. And I think just with all of the news that's coming at us, I think it's really important to just to identify the truth. In an age of misinformation that's happening, to really just to know the truth. And because, the internet, social media, rhetoric that's out there is not always true. And we have to identify the truth so that those things are not affecting how we react, how we feel, just, and remembering God is the same. God is the one that is consistent. These things are changing and some are not true. So just really the truth. So in Isaiah 26, verse 3, I'll read this, Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, in verse 3 and 4, it says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the eternal rock. And you know, God, it's God that provides that perfect peace. He gives us that perfect peace. And so how do we get it? How do we get this perfect peace? Well, we get it from holding on to the promises. You know, and in Acts chapter 2, this is a passage we're familiar with and we have probably read and heard many times. In verse 39, it says, "The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." You know, this promise, God said, is for you and it's for your children. It's for all those whom the Lord our God will call. See, God is the provider. He's the provider. You know, when you think back in the Bible, it's many different ways and stories that we can see how he has provided. He provided water, you know, from the rock for the Israelites. You know, peace is found in holding on to God, not to problems, right? So we have to hold steady in the midst of storms. We have to hold steady and tight onto God. But I want us to think about, what is a promise that you can hold on to? Or what is a promise that you have held on to in the past that helped you make it through those challenging times? Because that's what it's all about. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says here, it says, "Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." You know, and God, he wants to help us. He wants to help us to be able to escape from the noise, escape from the voices that may be in our head, and escape from the spiritual attack that's happening, because that is something that Satan is just in any and every way trying to come after us. But holding on to the promises, knowing that these are the things that's going to help us and sustain us as we anchor to them to be able to overcome the noise and the challenges that's coming at us. The other thing is that we have to persevere. We have to persevere under pressure, right? You know, James 1. We'll get there. James 1, verse 1, it says, I'm sorry, verse 2 will start. It says, "Consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Right? So stop there for a minute. You know, this is another part of being able to stand up under the stuff that's coming at us, is by persevering under pressure, you know? And so thinking about this, think about Jesus under pressure. You know, this is Matthew 4:4. We don't have to turn there, but you can just make a note of it. But here, Jesus is being tempted by Satan. But Jesus recognized the game, right? Jesus knew what was going on. So he didn't give in to the pressure. And this is like some serious pressure, because this is right before he's fasting and preparing for his mission to be able to live out so that we can have a relationship with God. But, you know, through all of his life and the journey that he was about to pursue, Satan was trying to get him to fall and not accomplish that journey. So this was a lot of pressure on Jesus. But Jesus stood under the pressure and was able to stay focused on God in the moment. And the thing I want to encourage us with is, sometimes when I'm in pressure and I feel like that, pray and ask God to give me clarity. Give me clarity, give me wisdom, and help me to be like Jesus as innocent as a dove, but as shrewd as a snake, so that I can be discerning, but wise, but righteous. So praying and pressure is something that we have to strive to do. Pressure, it is going to try to break our spirit, guys, but peace, the perfect peace, is going to strengthen our spirit. So I just want to encourage us, to not let our emotions control things in the moment, but really fighting through and inviting Jesus into those emotions so that he can help us navigate to the truth and to the promises. Is going to help us to hold on to him, and in turn get that perfect peace. So in closing here, just want to encourage us that just like a diamond is developed, God is trying to develop us to be a diamond, to shine bright like a diamond. And diamonds are produced by like a lot of pressure, a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of minerals. It's a long process, but a lot of pressure that's involved in the process. And God is trying to form us to be diamonds so that we can shine in the world that's dark and really draw people to him. So let's allow God to use us. Let's stand up under the pressure with God, and let's continue to hold on to the promises so that God can help us to become that bright and shining diamond to the world of darkness. So this is a question later that we're going to use, and we can bring it back later when we go in our discussion groups. But it's, how do we receive God's guidance? So we'll come back to that later. I'm going to hand it off to Carlito now.
Thanks, Chuck. Really appreciate it. So I love the last discussion question, right? Let me put this in presenter mode. Hold on a second. Because the answer that I would actually for that question, how do you receive God's guidance? Actually, I would think it, for me at least, I'm going to speak for myself, is through each other. And let's go through this because it talks a little bit about this in the devotional that we're in this book here, the 30 Days of Hope in Hard Times. Quick to read. It's really cool stuff. All right, so let's get going. So day 16 is about God's peace in times of panic. Awesome scripture. We all know it. Let's read it again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The words that lift off the page for me are things like anxious, thanksgiving, transcending, and minds. Okay. So panic is powerful, right? So panic, I want to read actually a piece. It's not on this page here, you're reading it right now, but in the next page, when you flip it, the author says, NL says, Paul's words in Philippians aren't casual suggestions, they are lifelines. He tells us how to trade panic for peace. So, trading panic for peace. Well, how do we do that? All right, so I want to give you guys this image again that we showed at one point. At some point in midweek years ago, Chuck and I'm dusting this off because of the topic. We did something on crisis and trauma, if you remember, a few years ago, right? So there's gonna be a lot of mindful references here. And if you could see this, okay, this is not an ice cream cone, right? This is an iceberg, right? And above the waterline are things that you and I see. We see in each other, right? My wife could probably see anger in me right away, like when we're talking, and then her frustration, which is above the waterline for her, it's a loop, and I get frustrated. And it's little things like, I'm not angry. It's just above the waterline is kind of what we see, right? But below the waterline is what's going on with us internally. And it's pretty deep stuff, right? And as a certified crisis counselor, I work with a lot of people above the waterline. But and then like Chuck with his work in trauma, he works with people, in that long sort of counseling for this below the waterline. And a shout out to this past Sunday when Sam Garrison talked about spiritual emergency services. Really cool stuff, really, right? And if you think about it, we see our neighbors and each other Everyone, even human beings, we all see in each other what's going on above the waterline. But what really Sam was referring to is when we engage people and we help them, we comfort them, and we become Christ-like to them, we're working with them below the waterline. So I submit to you, just as a reminder, what the Bible helps us to do is we're able to go below the waterline with people. Why? Because we do it with one another, each other in fellowship. We really do, right? If you think about it, we're deeper than most people, and especially within our fellowship. And if your neighbor is in an emergency crisis and they look to you, you're the one equipped to help them during this time of panic, especially during this time that we've been alluding to with this midweek of, finding hope beyond the headlines here. The other thing too is in mindfulness, if you remember, crisis or panic is a slippery slope, and it's great to have some sort of framework to understand, why people get triggered. We all get triggered, right? Everyone gets triggered. There could be, this is a very simple schema, page from Psychology 101, if you will, right? I took this page right out of the book of the places I go to when I try to get my mindfulness and healthy, mindful, group therapy. So it really is simple, right? So my friend doesn't telephone me on my birthday, right? And already you might be going through a stage in life, a chapter where you're in between jobs, and it just adds to the distress, right? And it's a negative loop, which is like a train out of control, a train. Runaway train of thoughts that are just negative. They're just looping and looping and looping. But all it takes is one triggering event and the mindset that you're in that can create this panic or crisis. It could be a headline. It could be something you're watching on the news. It could be thing, I was away for a week and I came home and I took all of my newspapers, Wall Street Journal out of their little to go their newspaper bags, whatever. And each headline I pulled out, I'm like, it's kind of depressing. It's stuff like threats and kill and these people and that. And it's just like, the enemy and like all these headlines. And because I was away for 2 weeks and I was unraveling the wrappers out of like 10 newspapers. And I couldn't find like a positive headline. It was just sad, right? But that's what can happen. We can actually be triggered by headlines. And I submit to you, what really is what's triggering us is this fear. We fear. Of course, we fear. We're human, right? I'll never forget. Watch. I don't know if you guys are fans of America's Got Talent, right? I'll never forget watching when the performers are ready to go and they're shaking and they're nervous. And Simon Cowell says, "Are you nervous? Are you afraid?" He's the judge, and the person says, "Yes, I'm terrified." And Simon Cowell says, "You're just human. It just means you're alive. That's it, right? We really need to live with fear and not in fear. Because fear, if you just look at the definition, is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone, whoops, or let me go back, sorry, someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. That could be daily, okay? And guess what? We're human, so we all fear. So you might as well lean into it and say, you know what? I'm going to fear something today. Like I do every day, it just means I'm human and it just means I'm alive. Well, I submit to you, I think where we live as disciples and the advantage we have is living right here in the middle. All right. You may have seen this before. I probably went over this before. DBT stands for dialectical behavioral therapy. I'm a school of that therapy is as a consumer, as well as, I've studied it out and I'm like, yeah, that's me. So we have emotional mind, whether that's the right mind. I don't know if doctors would say it's the right side of the brain, right? And then there's the rational mind, which is the left side thinking, right? Maybe the emotional mind are those people who are very extroverted. They react right away, right? And the logical mind are those introverts, right? And there's sometimes I'm always like, I wish I could be more logical, rational like those people, but I do wear my hat. Whoops, sorry. I do wear my hat on the sleeve. So it is something that, we live as disciples in the middle when we learn that, you know what? Based on my past, because we're activated in terms of our minds to be a repenting person, right? And to be sober-minded and to be aware of like what my weaknesses are. If we kind of recognize, in the past I was this, and maybe I need to be more like this. So I will do that. That's kind of what Jesus wants to teach in us is how to capture our thoughts, make it obedient to him, right? As it says in 2 Corinthians, you'll see that in a second, and how we can live more like, let me just ground myself and be wise about this because I've lived experience, and maybe I've experienced some emotional trauma or stuff in the past or some triggers, but you know what? In the past, I realized I was able to overcome. What does the Bible say? What did the scripture say that helps me ground myself? This is what I'm going to do in this moment. So that's something where I believe disciples, we live right there in the middle of these two in wise mind. That's our advantage because we get the wisdom from where? Scripture, because wisdom really just says the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise, right? Take a snapshot. I mean, well, you're going to get these slides, but wisdom is great. We all want wisdom, but how about just throwing in the Bible, your app there, just put in biblical wisdom. Trust me, put in the word wisdom in your Bible app and see what comes out, right? It may not be these scriptures, but once you read through them, they start to become nuggets for you to be like, wow, this, you know, it really is true. Like some of the things we have to do to gain wisdom is learning from our mistakes, right? Learning and walking and growing, right? So for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's that fear word again. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I mean, just put in wisdom through your Bible app and see what comes out. And you'll learn more about like how it is you need to study this topic and just and actually walk it and really trying to figure out how to apply it in your life. All right. The next subtopic within, you know, this, you know, chapter that we're in right now and hope and healing in hard times is day 22, God's strength to overcome fear of the future. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, Isaiah 41:10. This goes on the devotional to talk about the what ifs, right? Because we fear the what ifs, the uncertainty of life. We fear the things that we can't control. We fear, 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 you know, all those what ifs. You know, I was thinking, it was really cool, was also on Sunday, was listening to Ashton. You know, his message, You've Got a Friend in Me, talking about God walking the blood path, I thought was just set up right for us here at this midweek, for this class at least. And I always just appreciate how Ashton, he talks comfortably about his past and he shares it with you, right? You remember that chapter he was sharing about his life, about how he was going through all those struggles of uncertainty, fear, you know, what's next, you know, and he complained, right? He really admitted, like, hey, during that time, I'm complaining to God, right? I think that's a genuine character strength of anybody, any human being, but especially a Christian that can look up to God and just be frank and honest and say, like, God, help me out here. I hate being a disciple of yours because it stinks. Life stinks right now and I'm struggling, right? So I think it was great to hear how he said that. And I always feel like he's comfortable in sharing about himself, and especially those chapters where he goes through hard times, because it draws the you know, just that raw, real humanity of each other. And all of us have those chapters very similar. You know, I'm just going to quote what he said, and I liked how he said it. He said, this is my promise. He's talking about God. I'll walk the blood path on your behalf. I'll walk through it for you. If you fail, I'll take the fall. I'd rather face the physical pain of death than the emotional pain of distance from you. Wait a second. Let me rewind that again, because I did. I had to rewind that on the video. I'd rather face the physical pain of death, right? This is God, Jesus, then the emotional pain of distance from you. Wow. Hashtag poof. I'm like, wow, that's good. You know, it really is true, right? Can't you, for me, at least for me, I'll speak for myself. Isn't it so just inviting to know that God, you know, from Gethsemane to Calvary, when he carried that cross, the scriptures was enough to, for us, at least to sort of internalize, like, all every step that he went through, he's like, I can relate. This moment that you're going through with pain, I can relate with you, right? here are some practical scriptures that I'd like to leave for you before we go into breakout rooms, and where we invite you to also go below the waterline with us. Practical scriptures, 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, right? Because thousands of thoughts go through our head every day. Every day, it just flies back and forth. A lot of them, the majority of them, can be negative, right? It really can. So we've got to work hard in our minds to capture those negative thoughts, ground them, and make them obedient to Jesus. You know, grace, love, mercy, whatever, all that, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. He who is slow to anger has great understanding and profits from his self-control. This is an action scripture, I think. How do you slow yourself to anger? It's taken me a lifetime to figure that out, right? But it really is, there's some strength in that mindfulness to really capture thoughts, slow down before I let these emotions, panic and fear, overtake me. Learn the truth and never reject it. Get wisdom, self-control, and understanding. Learn the truth. It's another action thing. We've got to know what Chuck was saying. We got to know what is the truth. Be careful of misinformation. And here in Psalms 94, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. That's talking about anxiety right there, in the multitude of my thoughts. That's anxiety in another version. I want to read these last two slides, and then we'll go into breakout room, because I think this will, it motivated me, but it will motivate you. This is from Romans 15, verse 3 through 6, Message version. That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way scripture puts it. Even if it was written scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. Good God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony, a stunning anthem to God the Father, Master Jesus. There's one other version I want to read of this, because I really believe if God's going to provide you any guidance through these times of trouble, it's each other. We're going to help each other. Our goal must be to empower others to do what is right and good for them, and to bring them into spiritual maturity. For not even the most powerful... Wait, did I go? Sorry, did I go? Oh, you're there. You're still there. Okay, great. Not the most powerful one of all, the anointed one, lived to please him. Let me read that again. That's important. For not even the most powerful one of all, the anointed one, lived to please himself. His life fulfilled the scripture that says, all the insults of those who insulted you fall on me. Wow. That's Jesus. Whatever was written beforehand is meant to instruct us in how to live. The scriptures impart us to encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure all things. Now may God, the source of great endurance and comfort, grace you with unity among yourselves, which flows from your relationship with Jesus, the Anointed One. Then, with a unanimous rush of passion, you will with one voice glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will bring God glory when you accept and welcome one another's partners, just as the Anointed One has fully accepted you and received you as his power. I love the Passion Translation, you know, very much something that was turned on to me by Russ. So I always try to make sure I partner with that and I mix that in whenever I'm reading verses, because this really exemplifies how we're going to find hope during a hard times and healing in hard times. And the way we find it from God is through each other. And so that's what I want to end on. And I hope you're just as inspired as me as you are in reading about Christ. Okay, so Moving on to what we're going to do next with the remainder of our time, which we have a good solid 20 minutes, is and Chuck will you know help out here too in what we're prefacing is a breakout room for each and all of us. We have close to 72, Chuck. So I think we're going to have three rooms, I guess, is what we decide on, right? So we're going to have three breakout rooms that Rob's going to allow you to enter. And just so to preface these breakout rooms, we really invite you to go below the waterline, to get open. Right. And it doesn't mean, hey, let me get open and vent all of my anger at you. It doesn't mean that. It means to get open about what you're struggling with. Yes. But keep in mind that you are in a room and it is a protected and safe room. We won't be recording it. So we want to make sure you're respectful of others. Right. You could be struggling with stuff. We recognize that. We want to make sure it's real and you're honest. One thing that helps me in these breakout rooms, and we talk a lot about this in peer support group. This is kind of the thing that, like with Sherry Murray here, it's great that she's here. She's going to help us. She's a certified mental health, peer mental health coach, is that we speak in I statements. All right. So what I mean by that is when we speak in I statements, you're speaking for yourself. It's just your opinion. It's you, you, it's I, me, Carlito, I, right? I'm not trying to tell anyone to think like me. No, I'm just sharing with you. This is my pain. This is what I'm going through. Okay. And if there is some feedback, we probably don't have time for feedback for each other. But if something comes up, we always speak in I statements to help the person too. That's what we learn a lot too in the presence, the ministry of presence and the peer mental health coaching is, you know, I can relate with you. I understand. I hear you. I went through that also. This is what I did, you know, yada, yada, yada. It's not you did this. You should probably, you know, pray more. You should probably read your Bible. No, no, no. It's I. Okay. So it's a very healthy time to also get open. And just so that now we know what to pray for. That's the advantage we have in the fellowship and the advantage we have over the world that's suffering from headlines and people are boxed in four walls and they don't have anything else but to go to themselves, their negative thoughts. They don't know how to get open. But now we know how to get open because we know now what to pray for each other. That's the cool thing. All right. So, Chuck, anything to add to that so we can move on to our breakout rooms?
All right. So thank you guys so much for joining tonight. And thank you, Carlito. Great job, bro. Appreciate it.